Let's start with talking about tonight. The Celtics playing host of the Milwaukee Bucks. Kelly Olynyk still out. And a couple guys dinged up, Thomas and Smart. Are the injuries beginning to take their toll on the team, Mike?
I think a little bit. And I think the team actually may be a little bit tired. That sounds kind of crazy to say, I know, coming out of the All-Star break. But I thought against Minnesota, especially the other night, I thought the team for the first time looked like they were tired. So, yeah, you know, these are the dog days of the NBA. You get into late February and March. Usually by the middle of March, you start thinking about the playoffs, so it's easy to get motivated. But these are a tough two-week period right now that all NBA teams are trying to get through.
Are the injuries to blame for the relative lack of defense lately, or is there something else happening?
That's a very good question. You know, in fact, one of the questions I'm prepared to ask Brad in a little pregame interview I do with him tonight is, does a team lose its identity at different points during the course of the season? Because it seems right now as if the Celtics have lost their defensive identity a little bit. Everybody is kind of snowed by the fact that they keep scoring 120-plus points in games. And in fact, over the last 15 games, only Golden State has scored more points than the Celtics have. But that's not who these guys are. That's kind of fool's gold. They're a defensive team first and foremost, and their offense has to come from their defense. And you're right. I think the injuries may be paying a little bit to it, but I think they need to look in the mirror a little bit and redecide who they are.
Mike, you've always said that Paul Pierce is one of your favorite Celtics, and as his career winds down across the country, can you point to a time when you knew for certain his number would hang in the rafters?
Really, it's during some of the dog years, you know, the way he carried the team before Ray and Kevin showed up. I just always found Paul personable. I'm partial to Paul because of the fact that I did his entire career. I was here when he came and I was here when he left. And I hopefully will be here when he comes back again and gets his number retired. But to say a specific moment, I really don't think so. For Paul, it's a body of work. I think probably the biggest endorsement you can give Paul Pierce is Tommy Heinsohn will tell you that in all his years of watching the game, if it comes down to one play and you want the guys, the ball in one guy's hands, he thinks the one Celtic you want is Paul Pierce. And that, you know, this is a guy who played with the Cousies and the Russells and coached the Havlicek's and watched the Birds. To say that, that's the ultimate compliment to Paul.
Getting to be courtside for so many Celtics games and seeing so many coaches come through, both visiting teams and with the Celtics, who has been the most entertaining person to listen to, the stuff that we don't hear on the mic?
Greg Popovich is always great to interview and also great to listen to. Again, when you're sitting courtside, you hear what he says to both officials and to players. Stan Van Gundy makes you laugh out loud a good four or five times every game with some of the byplay that he has going on. Doc was very good at having serious little conversations with the officials that we could overhear. But if you ask me, the one guy I find fascinating is Popovich.
We're talking with Mike Gorman, the voice of the Celtics. Tonight they play host to the Milwaukee Bucks. They've got an open roster spot, Mike. Do you think they'll be adding anybody?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. There was some talk of Reggie Evans the other day. His name was floating around. Reggie's primarily and always has been a rebounder in his career. Not that the Celtics couldn't use some help rebounding, but offensively he doesn't give you any answers. I think if the Celtics could find a 2-3, but more a 3 who shoots the 3 with a little bit of accuracy, I think he could get some minutes on this team. But, you know, again, it's hard to make replacements. You know, if it's not broke, don't try to fix it. And the Celtics are, what, 8-9 games over 500. I think they're in third place with Miami's loss last night in the Eastern Conference, 50-odd games into the season. If I had told you that back in August, you would have thought that I was drinking the Kool-Aid. So I'm not in any hurry to fill that roster spot and suddenly take minutes away from somebody like Jay Crowder.
You've been around a lot of coaches through the years. What is it about Brad Stevens that makes him well-suited for this position?
Well, he's extremely level, probably as level as any coach that I've ever been around. There are no highs, there are no lows. Everything is kind of right in the middle. I mean, some of, you know, the Jeff Green shot a year or so ago in Miami that won at the buzzer, a couple of other Avery Bradley shot against Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. You look at the isolated camera that's on Brad, and he's completely stoic during the whole thing. No big smile, no big frown. He's just extremely level. And I think that works really well. players, you know, especially his first year here as a head coach, we had a lot of players go through and wear a Celtic uniform for a short period of time. And every one of them, to a man, when they did their exit interviews with the press, said they were a better player now than they were before they came. Even if they were only here for a month or so, they thought they improved tremendously. He's just a very, very good coach. He's very self-deprecating. He's not looking to be in the spotlight at all. He's just looking to put his guys in position to win, and he's very, very good at that.
Mike, having worked together for so long, can you talk about the level of comfort you have broadcasting games with Tom Heinsohn?
Yeah, it's beyond comfortable. you know, Tommy and I are good friends off the court. That really helps a lot. And, you know, I think the thing is that is I notice sometimes and wonder with other broadcasters and their partners, I don't want to do analysis. I want to do play-by-play. Tommy doesn't want to do play-by-play. He wants to analyze. So we very rarely, if ever, do we get into each other's airspace, as Scal likes to use that expression. We're not trying to outshine the other one. We like the idea and have liked the idea for going on 30 years now that it's Mike and Tommy, or Tommy and Mike, however you want to refer to it. But it's always the two of us. It's never the one of us. When we speak at banquets, we get up and we speak at the same time as opposed to individually. It's been a really nice relationship on and off the court. And, you know, for me to, for a kid who grew up in Dorchester, used to sneak into the garden to watch Tommy play, it's really a kick to sit beside him all these years.
Been a remarkable season for the Warriors and Steph Curry, as someone who's been around the game for quite some time. Where do you put the performance that we're seeing from Curry this season among the all-time great performances you've watched?
Well, he's right up there. I tell you, he's a generational player, I believe. He's very special. Not just his three-point shooting, but he's as good a ball handler as there is in this league right now. And some of the stuff he does is globetrotter-like, but it always has a purpose to get a better shot or to for him to get an open shot. Yeah, he's a very special player. I thought this was really LeBron's generation, but I think the torch is in the process of being passed right now. I tell you, another player who you don't hear a lot about, but Karl Anthony Towns, the kid from Minnesota, he is also a very special player. He's 7 feet tall. He shoots threes. He's a clever passer. He's got a lot of low post moves. He has a chance to be, you know, everybody talks about if you're starting a basketball team tomorrow, who do you want, DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis? I think Karl Anthony Towns is in that discussion now in terms of a big man. But Stephen, you know, I would pay to see a lot of people play, I guess, when I think about it, but he's definitely a guy I'd buy a ticket to go see play. He's special.
Mike Gorman, longtime voice of the Boston Celtics. You'll watch him tonight as they play host to the Milwaukee Bucks. Mike, as always, thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon. Good luck the rest of the season.
All right, thanks. Anytime, guys.